Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on 10 a.m.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
Love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Happy Friday to you, the 29th of May, 2020. Dusty here at Cam Cleveland. Good morning, Mr. Cleveland. How you doing, dude?
It's cracking.
What is cracking? Nothing, you know?
Cracking eggs.
Just life itself.
Cracking smiles.
I saw something this morning when I first woke up that it really got me thinking, because is this actually a choice that people go through? Because this is a no-brainer for me. Natasha Stenbach of Coin6 asked this question on Twitter.
Mask or no mask?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Would you rather have it be 85 degrees and sweaty, or have to wear a parka and 40 degrees outside?
Huh?
Yeah.
That was the question is, would 85 degrees or 40 degrees? Because the answer is 85 degrees.
Right. Right. Would you like to know what the respondents have voted so far?
Who are these respondents?
Her Twitter followers?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I thought you'd live on. Okay, all right.
54% say need a parka. They would rather have it be 40 degrees.
It's regional.
Than 85.
Man. Makes sense. If we're here, and nobody appears prepared for 85 consistently.
I feel like, though, there are always weather complaints when it's constantly 40 up here.
Well, they didn't say 40 and rainy and miserable. They just said 40 or 85. So it could be 40 and clear, which I would tend to go with 40 and clear.
You know what? That's a good point. I just assume 40 degrees here means kind of drizzly, wet and misty or something, you know?
Rainy, misty. Now, that's a whole different conversation. But a 40 and clear is, that's like a sweatshirt.
I'm with you. I love 40 and clear. That's perfect football weather.
Oh,
perfect
the
golfing
smell
weather.
Of it. Oh. The smell of 40 when you get to, now wait a minute.
So I guess it's 66% of this show. 66% of this show's respondents say they would rather it be 40 degrees.
It's like when you wake up in September and you know it's clear. It's like late September, early October. You know a football game's coming. The changing of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the ultimate smell and the ultimate feel. But I think it's very regional.
Mm. See, for me, I love the feeling of, you know, when you walk outside and it's for that early morning practice. The first day of daily doubles, that morning practice, and it's still warm out, and you smell that fresh cut grass, you know it's going to be a hot one. I love it. I love that. Oh. I love that smell.
Well, I guess maybe I would have loved to see the training camp in Louisiana when the mist is in the air and it's going to be 110 and you're just walking around going, you know what? Today I'm going to think I'm going to lose 15 pounds in practice and have to have IV bags. That happens.
See,
that's a little extreme, but at 40 degrees,
are different.
I never had to have that. We never had to have that little bit of problem.
Mm.
But there's, don't you think playing football in 40 degrees is better than 85? Maybe not.
No, you're right on maybe that. Maybe not. You are 100% right on that because you just, like the whole time you're overheating. Like you're just overheating the entire time.
Any sport, though.
And then you go to a locker room and it's 105 degrees at halftime.
I mean, you can't argue with 85. 85 is pretty spectacular.
No, just for living, though?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I love about an 85-degree day, though?
Everything?
Is the evening, when it's, like, still 70 at, like, 9 o'clock
Sun's
at night.
Down.
Oh, it's great.
Dusk.
Totally.
Or the Terminator, right at the Terminator moment of the day. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect part.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we learned about that little terminology.
The Terminator is right when the sun goes down. According to the brewmaster at McMinnman's that we talked to.
I wonder if it's, well, no, I don't think so.
What?
No, I'm just thinking aloud. No, I just think it, I wonder if it's very, I wonder if it's just, what is dependent, not just regionally, but those that live in the, like live in California, they come up here. What's their biggest change? What's their
so
biggest
cold.
Emotional change?
It's cold.
That they
got to
go through.
It's cold.
I don't
here.
Think it's cold here.
Well, for them it is.
Is it? So yeah. Northern Californians
Depends
don't go, it's cold.
California.
Well, yeah. If you're talking folks from California, they come up here, like from Southern California, they just complain about how cold it is all the time.
But we get our fair amount of cold in Northern California.
In Northern California, yeah.
Is it more stereotypical to think that Southern Californians come to Oregon than Northern? Because I don't think there's
no,
really
Nord-Cal
big difference.
Folk come up here more.
So don't you think it's more of the Southern Cals?
I feel like the Southern Cal migration is more towards Arizona and the NorCal migration more towards Oregon. I have no basis for that. I just kind of have that up in my head.
Hmm. I would agree with that. That's why there's so many Warrior fans around here and so many like Niner fans.
Are there a lot of
fans.
Warrior fans around here?
Well, when you go
just
to
bandwagon.
Motor Center.
Just bandwagons.
When you roll into Motor Center.
Jump on.
Bandwagon
on.
Of my life, my whole life.
Because they're not really like true Warrior fans. Because if they were, they wouldn't have moved up here. So they moved up here because they were.
So if you move, you're abandoning your team.
They were bandwagoning to the great city of Portland, and then they bandwagon right on top of the Warriors there.
See, what is it? What?
What
was? Was it the kid? Was it in Moda Center? The kid wore double jerseys. No, where was that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I'm talking
yeah.
about? It was wearing a Laker. Yeah. I swear it was a Laker and then took it off.
Or maybe was it
is yeah, something else. You know what
about.
I'm talking about?
I remember the opponent, though.
Was wearing one. And I swear it was a Warrior jersey, and then he took it off, and it was a Laker jersey underneath.
Something like, yeah. Yeah, the kid did a double jerseys for the purposes of rooting for the home team, but also trying to get like a Steph Curry autograph.
If that is the most LA thing to do. The most LA thing to do, because they always say, you're not popular in LA unless you're winning.
Unless you're trendy.
I saw people at baseball games back in San Francisco and in Oakland would have tricks of, they would get like a cheap hat for all the teams, and then they'd show up to BP and be like, hey man, I'm a fan, can I get a ball? I'm from Cincinnati or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, man, we'll toss one to the fan from back in Cincinnati. Takes the hat off, now he's an A's fan again, or he's a Giants fan again.
What about ranking the priority of what it is? What it is when? Because you mentioned that
we just ran into something too. That is the most A's fan thing to do.
Very A's fan
like,
thing.
Like the most LA thing to do is switch your. Like you can come up with these stereotypes for each team. Each team can do it.
Stereotypes.
Yeah.
Every team. You know what happened a lot last week is that you had to say you said one. Did we do this briefly? Just say Oregon Ducks. Was the first thing that comes to your mind. And then I said Wilcox. So if I say...
Oh, I don't think we did do this last
no.
week.
No.
Yeah,
but
we did.
I like word association games.
Well, we kind of did it. Not in this regard, though, of like a stereotype for each team.
So if I say Lakers, what do you think of? Stereotype.
Wait, what?
So I said, well, the Lakers.
You,
what do you think?
Just
you
for
said?
Word association,
yeah,
right
word
now
say,
you say Lakers, I think Kobe Bryant.
I say Jack Nicholson. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
I think just entitled because every player in the league is the next great Laker.
That's interesting because I picked a person, Buck picked a person, you picked
a word.
I also think of an image. I just think of the Laker fans. The deal with his sunglasses, bro, GIF that you see around Twitter all the time. The dude with the wide-eyed ripping the glasses off.
When I thought, what about the guy that has the necklace on and just says Lakers? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Jack Nicholson is famous.
Jack is famous. Yeah,
I think of glitz and glam.
Yeah. Laker girls.
Not as much Laker girls. I don't know. Mm.
Have they gone away? What are they?
No, there's dancers.
Mm. Okay.
See.
All right. Let me do that with. What do you think Blazer fans is?
No Blazer fans. Just say Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay. Portland Trail Blazers.
Or Blazers. Blazer fans. I think Damian. It's too recency bias.
I hear Blazers, I think Rip City.
That's what I do too.
Yeah.
I think of Rip City immediately.
Bill Walton.
Boom. Walton.
Bill Walton.
There was a time. Mm-hmm. There was a time where Bill Walton was it.
During my childhood, if you said Blazers, I would have thought Damon Stoudemire.
Okay, random one.
Weird.
Notre Dame.
Touchdown Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeff Samardzija.
Gold helmets.
Weird. Jeff Samardzija?
Yeah, I remember thinking he was an idiot for not going to the NFL.
That's your first one you think of?
I don't know why. I mean,
Jeff Samardzija?
That Brady Quinn, Jeff Samardzija season when they were
leprechauns,
awesome,
no nothing.
And I thought, this guy's a dominant receiver in college, and he's going to pass on being an NFL draft pick to go play baseball. And then he made like $200 million playing baseball.
All right, guys, I got the.
They have the best gold helmet in college football.
Agreed.
They do, hands down. I got one
better
for
than UW's.
Well, it's because it's just gold. You know, we used to spray paint our helmets every game.
Well, the movie Rudy taught me that's what they did too.
No, we did. Yeah, we spray painted every game. Every game you had to
bring your helmet.
Well, our equipment guys did it. Equipment guys did it, and they'd get all over your face mask, and you'd have like these crusties and these. It was a badge
they
of honor to see how much of the paint you could chip off during the game. Like how many scars? Mm-hmm. I remember looking at the helmets now. How many helmets do you think the Oregon Ducks players have?
Well, they have one for practice, then they have a chrome one,
a green one, yellow,
a white one, and a black. Yellow
There'd
one.
There'd be seven.
And a black one?
Seven?
Five, six?
Five. Yeah, we had one, and it looked, by the time it was done, it looked like you tried to, it looks like you were trying to chip away from an ice block. You were attacked with an ice pick, and it was just smashed and brutalized, and you're like, oh, check out this out. How much paint could you chip off your helmet during the game?
Mm.
So it was a challenge.
Perfect. I got a word association for the both of you. Dan Orlovsky. It's 6:13 on the fan. All right. I left you with a word association for Dan Orlovsky. What you got for Dan Orlovsky?
Hey. This one, I'm struggling with this.
Safety!
No.
That's what I think. When I think about the running out of the back.
That's unfortunate.
It's just an image that lives with me.
I'm a small amount of turmoil. What's going on with this?
Well, if you don't know what's going on with this, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN was on Get Up yesterday morning.
And Dan's come on our show. We had him on the show.
Yeah, and my first question is, why do you hate Justin Herbert? Remember that? He's getting hot takey, is old Dan Orlovsky.
What do you mean? What do you mean hot takey?
Well, his takes are getting hot, like hot takes. Like he's starting to go down the road of hot takes because I will tell you.
Okay.
His criticisms of Herbert were actually fair, and that was a joke, and he actually gave a really good explanation when we were talking with him. But yesterday, he went on Get Up with Doris Burke, Dominic Foxworth, and Mike Greenberg, and they were talking about Damian Lillard's comments of, you know, why he wants to sit out if the Blazers don't have a chance to make the playoffs. But he started it off by saying, hey, look, if we have learned anything in this, we should just not take anything for granted. And then went on to talk about how things that we didn't think were as important are important more now. But Dan Orlovsky stepped in it when he ended his comments with this.
I struggle with sitting there going, How can you sit there and go, nope, I'm not going to play, but understand that there's people out there that don't have that choice, that they have to go to work and they have to go earn their money. I struggle with sitting here and going, you don't come off as a spoiled and entitled brat by saying, I'm not going to play.
That was picked up by quite a few local outlets. And Damian Lillard retweeted and said, entitled and spoiled, MF, watch your mouth. My background, family, and character couldn't be further from entitled and spoiled. I said what I said. And he's standing behind the fact that he won't play if the Blazers don't have a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Either both guys, totally good with both their comments.
Really? You think that it's calling Damian Lillard spoiled and entitled brat is...
I don't need to pick sides here. I don't need to be bipartisan. I guess I'm being more bipartisan. This isn't a political comment. But what we're trying to say is that we're in the era of where everybody has a voice, correct? And don't you think that, you know, we used to get after athletes and used to have times where there was media coverage and you'd write an article and the athletes were kind of on the outside. You didn't read it, or you're like some of us during those times, you had communication with the beat writers in the locker room, but it never went public. It just didn't go public, or you didn't take it to the next level because we didn't have the kind of outlets. It was a little more refreshing. Now, everybody doesn't have sports. They're trying to figure out things to do. They're trying to figure out content to talk about. We're trying to do whatever we can to be interesting or controversial because the world is full of hot takes. And what happens when hot takers make $6, $7 million on national television? They get paid to be hot takers, and you feed that kind of, you feed the excitement for fans. So I respect Damian Lillard, and I also respect Dan Orlovsky. They're both in the business of being entertaining. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you're right or wrong, it really depends on whether you think you'd back up your comments. So I respect Dame for standing up for himself, and there's nothing wrong with Dan Orlovsky's opinion either. Whether you like it or not, it's just we're in this era of you're either with me or you're against me or you got to pick sides. I'm like, I'm not picking sides here. I think this is the era we are.
The other element of it is I think Dan was making a fair point, and I actually think you can hear in that clip he's searching for the right words.
Yeah.
And entitled brat or entitled spoiled brat popped out of his mouth, but I'm not even sure that was the wording he wanted to use if he'd had more time to think about it.
And that is ultimately the problem that, you know, Damian Lillard had with it is when you call somebody an entitled and spoiled brat, but you don't really know much about him. And Orlovsky, and this is where you sit there and you go, Orlovsky's obviously in the wrong, because Orlovsky replied to Lillard and said, you're right, I was wrong to use that phrase at the end. That's my bad. My comment started with saying, I hope we all realize nothing is meaningless anymore. And if it's about protecting loved ones, 100%. I shouldn't have said the entitled or brat, and that's on me and my bad. Well, that is where you sit there and you go, all right, Dame has a total case in being upset at Orlovsky because of what he said. Because Dan Orlovsky, and that's where I said, you know, he's getting hot takey, is because of the fact that you get to that point and then you just say, the guy's entitled and is coming off as a spoiled brat.
I think you go emotion. Also, you go just in the moment. And thing is, if you have time to be calculated and process your comments and not really on live television or in live radio, and you actually have time to think through, or if you're a reactor, because you can sit back and you let everybody just talk to you, then you can just react to everything. That is it's a little bit easier than it just be, I'm in the moment, this is my emotions. How many times have you made a statement or made a comment? If you made a comment, and so you immediately go, oh gosh, I regret when I said that. Because, maybe Dan Orlovsky felt that. And he probably in the moment, how many times have we heard or have we just been told, tell these stupid athletes to shut up and dribble and just listen to that comment? Or there's a thing is like they're making hundreds of millions of dollars. And here I am, 40 million people out of work. So there's a weird, obviously there's a weird connection between those two, because that's not reachable for Damian Lillard to be able to be connected to 40 million people that are looking for jobs. So I understand that, but we're just in this, I don't know where the line between hot take guy and or professional athlete person defend, because there's Kevin Durant who's sensitive. Now, Damian responds to people more as any professional athlete does. If he wants to, that's fine. So what? Who's wrong here? Who's wrong here in the world of media, the way it's done? Does it matter that Dan's right or wrong, or Damian defends himself, really?
See, but information does matter about it, and just kind of like you going and look.
But is it a who's or wrong? Is it definitely a wrong and right thing here?
I think there are people out there that probably have the same feeling as Dan Orlovsky, that Dame does.
I think there's more
entitled in sport. You think more people think that than
yes,
because they get it.
Yeah, because not everybody understands. It's so hard to understand what it's like to be someone like a Damian Lillard during it. It's virtually impossible.
Yeah, there's a whole group of fans
that
resents the idea that people get to go
so
make
true.
This much money for playing a game.
Perfect example.
And so then when they say, I don't even want to play the game for that money, those people get more upset or offended.
Perfect example here. Playing golf the other day with Terry Boyd on KGON. And it's got a great guy. We're playing golf, and he's got a buddy that we're playing with. And he's walking by me, and he goes, man, these baseball players, just right out of the gate. And great guys. But their first inclination is these entitled, spoiled brat professional athletes. I just have the hardest. And I'm not disrespecting, because I respect the opinions of all the people, whether or not to try to inform. Just right out of the gate just immediately said, there's no way they should. And that's why I posed the question like I did on the show. And I said, well, what about the owners? They're billionaires. And he's like, well, I never really thought of it that way. But we are just been trained to immediately look at the athletes and go, well, they're entitled and they're all that. And I understand it, and I don't have any problems with it. I just go, it's funny how we're just trained that way mentally.
But what was amazing to me is that Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, he went down the road of saying there's people out there like nurses and doctors who are forced to go to work.
Yeah.
Isn't one thing that we know that, look, one, being a professional athlete isn't an essential business. What the doctors and nurses are doing is heroic and not going and playing a sport and risking his health for sport and entertainment. And one thing that you say all the time is it's not the real world. And shouldn't Orlovsky be the guy that I understand if like Skip Bayless says this, but if Orlovsky comes out and says it, like, shouldn't he know that line there? And isn't that an understanding?
Maybe, if you look at this, is that we today try to relate to the common person. Who is common? 95% of us out there that go a 9-to-5 job. But we talk about this and we sensationalize the uncommon, the one percenters, the ones that are out there and go, I wish I could be like that. So, yeah, your question, to answer your question, should Dan Orlovsky be relatable to the average person? Yes, because that's who's paying his salary. That's who's watching him do it. Professional athletes are looking at him and going, I don't care what Dan Orlovsky says, but obviously Damian did a little bit. But, yeah, he should. He should because that sells. Doesn't it sell? It seems to sell to me. I mean, how does Skip Bayless and how do these guys, and why we always use Skip Bayless, but how's Stephen A? Who's an $8 million guy?
But isn't there the relating to the average fan, which you can do, and then giving that perspective from the other side of it? I mean, like,
there's no right answer.
What Orlovsky is doing is.
I don't think Dan's wrong at all. I think he's just trying, just giving his emotion and his opinion. Whether you like it or not, we're just in the world of you're on one side or the next. There is no middle ground anymore. You either like it or you don't. I respect both guys. And if you have a voice and have the balls to put it out there and say it, you're going to take the heat for it. If you want to be safe, and a lot of the guys safe in media suck. They're not very good.
Dame Lillard is what? I mean, think of this. What would you use to describe it? I mean, we're here in Rip City, and it's a completely
Dame's
different
a
feeling
stud.
About him.
He's a stud.
55305. That is the fan text line. Your feedback on this, because some good text coming in at the fan text line. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Run to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That's a fan text sign. Dan Orlovsky, He's already backtracked on it, and he said Damian Lillard is entitled and spoiled brat for not wanting to play the rest of the regular season. Dame Lillard is what? 55305. Text coming in. I think they're pretty good on this. It said, this one just says, stop comparing real world jobs to sports.
Hard.
Wait, what?
It's hard not to, but I understand the logic of it because it's everybody thinks of 9 to 5s.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's Dolly Parton jumping up and going, hey, it's working 9 to 5 here.
Working 9 to 5.
Really, as a pro athlete, it's not 9 to 5. It's 24/7. And there are a lot of jobs out there to do it. It's really, really, guys, it's so hard. And ladies, it's hard not to sit here and compare it to both. And we try to go back and forth. You go, okay, it's like this, but then it's not like that. It's like a union, but it's not like that. So it's just like, I don't know if you can really stop. We're trying to. We're trying to do our best with it. These guys are trying to be like, hey, I'm just like you, man. I just got more zeros and I dribble a ball.
But if you want to take it to the real world, though, this is where you can. That the people, like the managers in your building, they probably get more vacation days than you do, don't they? The people who have been there longer, who have established themselves and are better at their job, get paid more. And when you get paid more, there is more leverage and you have the ability to do more things. And like Damian Lillard is saying right now, is like, dude, I don't need to play in these games if they're meaningless because it puts me at risk and there isn't an incentive for me to do it.
Yeah, everybody probably, some like to be incentivized, mm-hmm. others don't. Others like to be comfortable, some want to be pushed, and that's just kind of, that. I feel that's human nature. This is a kind of a human thing. I don't think it's like real life is pro athletics. Real life is some immediately can just suddenly be a pro athlete. It's happened before. I played with a guy called a beer man, literally was a beer man. Michael Lewis came out of the truck, ran a 4.21, and then suddenly became a punt returner for the New Orleans Saints. I've never seen anything like it. It's one of those crazy stories. So, yeah, it is kind of unrealistic, but whether Dan Orlovsky really, I mean, do we really think Dame just cares about that? Or is Dame's like, oh, dude, who's this guy? Oh, let me clap back at him for a second. Kind of having fun with it.
Well, I think he does take those things personally because of the fact that what Damian Lillard does in our community here and what he does it back home, entitled and spoiled is something that he's never wanted to be seen as. And he's also never wanted to be seen as a guy who takes a ton of credit for the things that he does, because we know that Dame has, you know, his stand up to bullying program that he has.
Sure.
And he mentors kids at Park Rose and Roosevelt High Schools. But there's a lot of stuff that Damian Lillard does in this community that nobody has a clue about. Right?
Well,
and those are things he doesn't want people to know, but
yeah.
What he does is wants to shed the label of, I don't want to be ever seen as somebody who's spoiled or entitled or too good for anybody else. And so he does these sorts of things that are down to earth, you know? And I think if you were to ask his teammates or people that cover the team or follow him closely, entitled and spoiled is the last thing that you would describe Damian Lillard as. And I think that I think there is a personal level to that. Those words specifically that Orlovsky used, and that, which, by the way, Orlovsky deserves this. He did say, look, he admitted those were the wrong words. Like, I didn't, like, entitled and spoiled brat, wrong things to say, but
happens all the time.
The first part of it, I agree with, you know, in that I just disagree that you're going to sit out.
Dame's one of the most respected athletes in all of sports, not just NBA, all of sports. And regionally, he's an incredible individual. He's gone through so much, what he's done through and what he does for this community. It goes without saying, he does things that, like you mentioned, doesn't do it for the notoriety. It's because he cares and has passion for it. Sometimes he does clap back. And personally, I don't think he has to clap back or ever defend anything he does. Now, if he wants to, that's up to him. But he's earned so much respect across this country as a top athlete, but an unbelievable individual. And so that Dan Orlovsky, I mean, it's like, that to me is just one of those things. It's like, all right, if you wanted to clap back, that's fine. It's up to him. It really is. But it doesn't change. And if somebody has an opinion about you, you're never going to get them to change anyway, because they're just now going to find a reason to do that. And because that's who they are.
55305. The problem that I have is that he tried to compare it to doctors and electricians having to go to work. There's a reason jobs that weren't essential had to shut down, and the ones that are needed for life, like those listed, were essential. We wouldn't die if there was no basketball like doctors.
Spot on.
Good point. Also, why don't people get mad when pro athletes sit out for preseason or games that mean nothing to not risk injury? But if Dame does it now, to not risk injury, games that don't matter, it's a problem?
I think when you see documentaries, maybe, and you hear stories or of athletes that doing whatever you can and doing everything you can, and basketball gets a bad rap, and it's because of the words load management of the last few years. And that has started to creep into this business when it comes to the NBA, and players are now, and analysts and coaches are advocating for taking days off when you're like, you're making $20, $30 million a year. And everyone's goes, you mean to tell me that you're taking days off and getting paid that kind of money? That's just so unfathomable for a lot out there. So I think that's why you get that kind of criticism. And it's just, it's like, Michael Jordan never took any time off, never missed a game. And then you get those old views and things are just different. It's just load management.
I think, you know, the problem with load management isn't that the fans that pay an exorbitant amount of money to go into the games and into the arena to see those players, they don't get that opportunity, and that is an issue.
It's a big deal.
If this happens in Orlando or wherever it does when the NBA season returns, this is another factor of it, is that who's getting cheated out of that? Like Dame is also a guy that load management is not something that he does, you know, or doesn't do it often, because he's played dang near almost every game that he possibly can when he's healthy. And so nobody's going to be cheated from that Damian Lillard. I paid a ticket to see my favorite player, Dame Lillard, play, and he didn't play.
Well, it'd be like going to an AC/DC concert, and you know they're on tour, and then all of a sudden Angus Young takes a night off because he's got a bad ankle. And you're like, well, I paid money to see Brian Johnson and Angus Young, and I don't get that. What? Mm-hmm. Sports is entertainment. I've never looked at it as essential business, but I look at it as entertainment. If you had the chance to go watch these guys play, some of them think that. But just like any entertainment business, if I'm going to a comedy show and Jim Gaffigan's the headliner and he comes down with the flu and decides not to come out there, I'm agitated. Because I'm like, what? He's like, well, I don't think I can make it tonight. It's going to do that. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I came to see Jim Gaffigan. It's not, he's not there, he's not playing. I'd be frustrated, and then you'd be okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Dame's game logs from his career, 82 games, 82 games, 82 games, 75 games, 75 games, 73 games, 80 games, and then he
Dame's so far from that.
He's
so far from load management guy, it's not even close.
58 games this year as well. Yeah. I mean, he's not that guy, which I think also he's sitting there going, like, as this text says, you know, isn't Dame just saying he doesn't want to play in a 70-game season, which is just to get the local TV money? I think he's willing to play a full 82-game season. And he is, because he's saying, like, if you bring us back just so you want to get that money to hit, because 70 games is the threshold for local television agreements to get paid out to these teams. He's like, I'm not going to do it just so we hit a 70-game number that is irrelevant to us actually competing and making making the playoffs. Because what he's saying is, I do want the ability to compete for a playoff spot, because isn't that the goal of every athlete?
Yes. Yes. Athletes don't tank, folks. Athletes don't care about, they don't care about, what you say, just going out there and existing. Some aren't as motivated as others. Here in Portland, Dame's the most competitive, motivated athlete I've seen in this region in decades. Decades. I'm not including he has a gear and a passion and a fight that you just can't replicate.
55305, that is the fan text line. More of your feedback next, 6:43 on The Fan.
Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping to folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
Bless Dolly Parton. You know, she funds, like, she basically funds the Gatlinburg, Tennessee schools. Remember when she, like, they were on some hard financial times, and basically Dolly Parton's like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Old Dollywood over there in Gatlinburg. What a great woman. 55305. Dame Lillard is blank. Dan Orlovsky called him entitled and spoiled. That's the topic of our P1 social.
He since apologized.
He has. He
publicly.
Has. He said those were the wrong words. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that. But the point I was trying to make is true. That I think guys should play. This text says, do people know what games players are going to sit for load management? Kawhi, for example, fans don't know when he's going to sit. At least Dame is telling fans.
I didn't know that Kawhi Leonard actually let everybody know he was sitting a game. Did he tell everybody? Is that legal? That's illegal in NBA terms.
Yeah, I think
you can't do that.
I think it's actually the rules now.
Yeah.
If guys are sitting, you have to let people know beforehand.
Yeah, but he can't just come out and say, so the month of January, I'll be sitting out XXX dates.
No, not like that far in advance. No. I think it's like right before. But isn't the point of load management to win in the playoffs?
I don't know. I think the point of load management is that players don't value the regular season as much as they value the playoffs. So with that being said, that's on the NBA that they've created that environment.
Well, yeah, that was the whole point when Greg Popovich was sitting his Spurs players. Mm-hmm. You know, it's by design that, and Michael Jordan said it in the Last Dance documentary. He said, 82 games gets thrown out the window when you get to the playoffs. As long as you're ready for the playoffs, that's what matters.
Yeah.
You know, he said that when talking about, you know, or Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually mean that when he was talking about Scottie Pippen.
Well, the regular season is for the fans. The playoffs is for the players. I've always felt that way about the NBA. I kind of feel that way about all sports, like the playoffs. Like the regular season is for you. It's for you to get a chance to see the players. It's for you to have that interaction on TV and see the competition at not at its best, but you see that back and forth. The playoffs, although it's really for the fans too, the players understand the uptick in the energy and the value of it and how important it is to still win a championship. Oh, they want to compete at the highest level. Jordan is just that anomaly that we all really struggle with comparing it to, because there are a lot of guys during that era that played through pain and injury and just played.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the sentiment of what he's saying is that I think a lot of professional athletes are like, hey, get to the playoffs, and if you're ready to go then, that's when it's time to go. Like, that is, you have to be ready for that time when the lights are bright and the stage is the biggest. And, you know, Dame is saying, I just want a chance to get to that stage. And that's where I want to be. I like this P1 name. P1 Raider Jim texting in.
Nice.
But his Raider Jim is R-8-T-R Jim. He says, doesn't the 70-game TV money pay his salary?
I don't have that answer.
Yeah.
I don't have that answer. I don't know exactly the details of it.
That's a massive source of their revenue.
But I would say typically in sports, regional money is brought in by advertisers and deals and all of that. And the Blazers need regional revenue, and they get ticket sales and they have part of the Moda Center, and that all goes. But national, I don't know how it works with the NBA as much, but I know national television coverage pays for the NFL for player salaries. That deal, all local revenue goes directly to the team.
So but that, additionally, even if it does pay part of his salary, it's on the team to also protect their investment. If there's no shot at the playoffs,
yeah,
and they think it's a risk moving forward to let him play, then that's a whole different story. Like, it doesn't matter it's kind of irrelevant whether it pays his salary or not.
You know, Neil Shaley uses the term asset. What's your best asset here as a Blazers? Damian Lillard. So whether or not you think it's valuable or not, he is the number one draw asset or anything. And at some point you kind of go, I can do what he wants.
I agree. He can do what he wants.
He can do what he wants.
Because what has Damian Lillard done here in Portland that would make people think of anything?
Nothing.
Anything but the best interest is for the Blazers to try and win a championship. What has he done that has proved otherwise? I don't know.
He's the ultimate competitor, ultimate teammate, ultimate leader, regionally spectacular.
Elevates his team like no other. Without him, they'd be in a whole different space right now.
Has the heart of 50 Lions.
Ooh.
I
think he has the heart of 51 Lions.
Okay. Yeah.
I see you're 51 and I raise you 52. Lions, that is.
Dame has committed himself to the city in a way most professional athletes don't. He's not entitled or spoiled. He's a competitor. That from Danbo. What up, Danbo? Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
Dame has carved out something that is truly unique in this city, and I think the legend of Damian Lillard will grow as time goes on. You know, as time goes on, his legend will continue to grow because of the little things that he has done in the community. And when people grow up and you know, more people, like the young kids that he's done things for and inspired, they grow up, those stories will trickle out and his impact will be seen on a greater scale as he is done with his playing days and his career is over. I truly believe that because there's a lot of stuff that he's done. He even retweeted one guy who said, you know, my father has spent a lot of time in the hospital this year. One night pre-COVID, before visitors were banned, the nurses told me Dame Lillard had stopped by the hospital to visit a patient. Someone he didn't know, friend of a friend, having a rough time. He stayed for nearly an hour, no publicity. Hospital's on the other side of town from his house in the practice facility. He went out of his way for a stranger and then spent significant time with the patient. Dude is real. So honored that he represents Portland. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of stories, I believe, like that that will come out.
What's really cool is that it sucks that professional athletes' careers can be so short sometimes. And you get the opportunity to have someone like a Damian Lillard. And you look back, you go, holy smokes, it was just 2013 and 14, like a blink of an eye ago. And you're like, he's going on the other end. You just go, man, just love it and embrace it. Because at any second, you're like, you're never going to get that. Portland just doesn't get handed guys like this. You just don't get that.
I love this analogy that came in on the fan text line 55305. Nobody drives their Ferrari on a dirt road. And if they come back and the Blazers are, it's just like, hey, you get 5 games to come back. Isn't that the equivalent of like, you know, driving your Ferrari on the dirt road? Like there's no point in doing it.
Depends on how you look at it. So if I wrapped it in this mindset, if this isn't the captains of what ifs, but if those five to 10 games, whatever number you want to say, brought back Blazer people that were furloughed and maybe this is random, TV people in production, gave them salaries, gave them the chance to get to that level. If you thought of it that way, does that change your mind? Instead of just the fact is it for the players? That would be one aspect that maybe few are thinking of. But from the players' perspective, with safe and health and the future of what this league is, I think it means nothing to have them come back. But if on the other side, if it helps local television, if it helps local stuff, if it brings you a little bit of excitement, hey, let's say it gets Anthony Simons 5 or 10 more games and he develops a little bit more confidence and becomes a good shooter. Maybe Zach Collins does come back. He averages 15 points a game, gets some stuff under his belt. Yusuf comebacks, get a little bit, and feels like, hey, I'm ending the season on a high note. There is some positivity with it. Whether Dame plays or not, you can get something out of that.
Ooh. Dude, did you see Yusuf's tweet last night?
No.
He said, all I know, it's going to be different. At Zach Collins, hashtag the return. And it was a picture of him and Zach Collins.
Good. 2 7-footers, get after this.
Coming up next hour, the predicament that USC is in now, Paul Feinbaum talks to a Pac-12 trainer. Is there any other reason but a troll for that? And the importance of the deep ball in the NFL. But give you an update to what's going on with Major League Baseball next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.